Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, we are expected to hear from Andy Reid in just a couple of minutes. The only place to hear from Andy Reid is 96.5 The Fan here each and every Monday. Of course, the Chiefs got their first win of the season, much needed to avoid the 0-3 start. They get it done with a 22-9 win in the game. Patrick Mahomes finished with 224 yards and a touchdown. The leading rusher for the first time this year was not Patrick Mahomes. It was Isaiah Pacheco, 10 carries for 45 yards. Leading receiver, of course, Tyquan Thornton, 5 catches, 71 yards and a touchdown. We'll talk more about Tyquan individually as he has become such a crucial part now of this football team and perhaps a season-saving catch even. I'll go as far as saying that based off of how that offense was looking.
Very important. A couple big-time performances, obviously, at least on that end. Next up on What's Trending, multiple injuries. Tyrone Tracy has a separated shoulder. He's going to miss some time, according to reports out of New York. James Conner is done for the season, most likely. He'll get a follow-up, but people are saying that. Najee Harris, I think we could all see at this point. We've all watched enough sports. When an Achilles pops, unfortunately, he's done for the season as well. A lot of running backs getting hit hard in the NFL yesterday.
College football locally, we obviously know K-State was off, but Kansas in their Big 12 opener took care of West Virginia. It was a blowout. They dominated from start to finish to kick off the 2025 Big 12 slate there at the booth. Missouri with a big, big win against South Carolina there in Columbia. We're going to talk more about them tomorrow. As we mentioned late last week, it sets the stage now. Now, there's some big-time games coming up, but they are in position now to have a real conversation about their path towards a college football playoff berth.
No, it's very serious. We talked about this. We'll talk more Missouri again later in the week as well. KU throttled, as you mentioned, West Virginia.
Yeah, that was a sweat-free game. I was there checking out the new booth for the first time. Very, very impressed. I can't wait till it's completely done in 2027. But yeah, it was awesome to be back out there, and nice when you don't have to sweat it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, zero sweat. Next up on What's Trending, Royals get 2-3 against the Blue Jays over the weekend, who still hold a 2-game advantage in their division. Dropped the finale yesterday 8-5. Carter Jensen had a really good weekend. Cags had a good weekend. Vinny and Bobby had good weekends. Obviously, they played well this weekend. They're now perfectly, once again, 500 at 78-78. They're not going to the playoffs. They're technically not eliminated as of today. They're 6 games back with 6 games to play.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, on Mondays, our lunch partner is 30 Hop. Mondays, $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop, your new go-to. Of course, it's an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, unbelievable patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. Go out to Lee Summit, check out 30 Hop, or just down the street from us here at Merriam Grand Station. They're a brand new location. They're a proud lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. Stop in for lunch, stay for happy hour, take advantage of that $5.99 classic burger on Mondays. 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio. We're awaiting Andy Reid's press conference. You are not missing any of that. We'll go out there live as soon as he starts talking. Don't expect much on the injury front on Mondays. You guys know that by now, but be curious to see. He wasn't asked, I don't believe, about Harrison Butker and the kicking after the game as much. I'm sure somebody will ask him a little bit about what they think is going on there. Is he healthy, among other things, as we discussed that earlier. It's a troubling trend now for Butker, just with the 4 misses 3 weeks into the season. So I want to hear what Andy Reid has to say about that. He's already been asked 2 or 3 times about the Travis Kelce sideline thing. I doubt he's going to really get into that anymore.
And if he's definitely not going to make a big deal about
right.
it.
Right.
He's
made
it pretty clear.
Response.
He's burying that, I guess. And like, to your point, it's just, and we don't have to hit that a million times over. I understand where they're coming from on that. But the Travis Kelce thing, it's not like it's not worthy of just ignoring. in the sense that I do think there's probably more than
just not every week. That, my only thing is just not every week. The emotions, totally get it. He should be emotional. I love the fact that also Andy Reid was barking back and all that. I think that can be good, but it's a weekly thing now. That's the only problem.
How surprised were you at Worthy getting off the list on Saturday?
We all texted.
I know, because the game, that's more the talking point, but just while we're waiting for Andy.
Yeah.
I was surprised, very surprised, that Worthy was not available.
We were texting, the three of us, on Saturday when that news happened. Drew, I think, I don't know if you sent us the link initially or whatever it was, and I was surprised.
Yeah, I think so.
By that. You know, things were trending towards him playing. We had multiple guests on the show, including Nate Taylor and others last week, and everybody believed, barring a setback, you know, he was going to play. He was officially listed as questionable on Friday, and then they ruled him out. He did not travel with the team. I guess at this point I have to assume that they felt like, all right, we can wait one more week and get him back for the Ravens game. And I wonder if there's not a little bit of gamesmanship there. I told you I didn't think, you know, offensively they're good enough to hold players back that can help them win. In the first half, it sure looked like obviously they could have used Xavier Worthy. But I guess now is the benefit. If you get him back for the Ravens game, you only in the year 2025, if you're the Ravens, you only have three plays. You only have three plays with Xavier Worthy on the field. You don't know what the hell they're going to do with Worthy. Is that the advantage you get now if you're the Chiefs? I'm just trying
to
think.
That can't be. They were so desperate for a win, like we talked about. They couldn't just be stashing Worthy to play tricks on the Ravens. They obviously didn't think he could play, which makes me question whether he can play on Sunday. Well, I know it's 6 days away, but, like, you know, his practice, if he never gets past limited participant,
that's
he's not
the
playing.
Thing. Yeah, and he hasn't had a full practice yet. He's been limited. We talked about it. Yeah, I mean, last week, I'm with you that I didn't think they had the luxury to hold a player back or anything like that. That seemed a bit crazy. But if he does play Sunday, I do think there is an advantage to it now that you've gotten through the Giants game. Whether that was their intention or not, I don't know. But there is only a handful of plays, man, on film for what you might want to do with Xavier Worthy. Yes, last year, but that was last year. So you have some new wrinkles. We know their whole game plan in week one was kind of thrown out the window when Worthy got out. So I am a little excited. Is there a chance that they can catch the Ravens at least early on in the game off guard at all with some things that they haven't shown anything on tape with Xavier Worthy? But I agree that he has to at least have one full practice. Maybe it's not tomorrow, maybe or Wednesday, you know, maybe we have to wait until Thursday for it.
Yeah, it might very well be. And they might keep it close to the vest for the same reason we mentioned before. They're not going to give away any kind of secret. Hell, maybe it worked to their advantage a little bit in the sense that the Giants, up until Saturday, might have spent a good chunk of their game planning gold working on the idea that Xavier Worthy might also be available.
Yeah, we're hearing it might be a couple more minutes at least on Andy Reid with some meetings that are wrapping up. So sometimes with these, I mean, we could be in 3 minutes from now. It could be 15 minutes. So just a heads up, you haven't missed anything when it comes to Andy Reid and his media availability today on a Monday right here on 96.5 The Fan. The other part, too, on Saturday, Sunday, I guess we had to wait officially for, but we kind of knew it was trending in this direction. On the flip side of Worthy, there was Jalen Royals, who finally was a full participant and was active on game day, but did anybody look at the set? Did he get a snap?
I don't think he was on the field at all.
He was active, though, right?
He was active.
He didn't even get a snap in the game, so they continued to slow play him. In fairness, I will say with that, while he was a full participant, that was the first two practices he's had as a full practice as a Chief.
And he wasn't practicing at the end towards training
camp. That's what I mean. I mean, so that one makes a little bit more sense, but I am, I guess, a little surprised he didn't get a single snap in the game.
Me too, but at the same time, this is also just reality versus sometimes what they've been able to get out of guys after the third round. He's a fourth-round rookie wide receiver as a practiced. Historically, that is not a player that plays. Like, I mean, just straight up. That's not a player that plays. Under almost any circumstances, that's not a player that plays. And no, he did not get, based on this list from Nick Jacobs, always sends out the snap counts, he did not get a single one. The only one that was confusing to me at the end was, did you guys see that Simmons didn't play the final, like, couple snaps
six
of the game?
Six plays. I don't know what was up there.
To go with the dehydration weirdo.
I did not notice that.
And by the way, dehydration, then he ended up on the injury report for something different later in the week. So I don't think it was dehydration. But, like, there's some funky. I wonder if Simmons is going through, like, a little something medically that they don't want to.
I don't know. That's all speculation at this point. I'm not sure. Yeah, we know last week the four or five plays that prompted him to come to the sideline, they said dehydration. Simmons was kind of not wanting to talk about in the locker room after the game. And he obviously started this game, and then the final six he didn't finish. So I don't know what the weather was like in New York. I don't think it was very hot. So it doesn't mean you can't be dehydrated if that was actually the reason. But I don't know. There's people have been speculating about different things online, but I'm not sure. And the Chiefs at this point haven't disclosed anything.
No. Again, it's purely speculation. It's just me saying like, he's not playing the final six. He sat out for the series in the other one. And they're like, what's going on? Well, he was dehydrated. I'm like, I went back. I don't even think you handed him a Gatorade.
The whole left side of the line was different. The final six plays. It was Simmons, yeah. Moore was in and Caliendo was in. So Kingsley also came out. Were they just trying to, I don't know.
Getting everyone a breather. Yeah.
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense.
Nobody does that. Nobody.
They're 22-9.
Starting left tackle and left guard a breather the final six plays of the game.
I don't know what was going on.
No, we're all talking it out.
I didn't think Simmons was playing. I mean, he made some mistakes, just so did Kingsley, but they both had some good moments in that game.
You know,
too,
I don't know what the PFF grades say, and someone might be like, oh, the grade says otherwise. I actually thought Kingsley had one of his better games as a pro.
I do. He got beat a couple, and I'm not saying he didn't
get beat. That doesn't mean he didn't get beat, for sure. I just think, considering the front he was going up against, and also they were having Abdul Carter line up as a linebacker, I believe Kingsley had one of his better games as a guard, certainly, and even as a Chief.
Maybe, yeah, I could make an argument for his best game, honestly. And again, the Giants intentionally isolated all the offensive linemen. It's like, all right, it's one versus one, because they figured they could probably beat Kingsley in that scenario and came up relatively short. Like, you know, not saying he never lost. He definitely lost a couple of times, but he won a lot more times than I'm accustomed to.
All right, let's do a little stock up, stock down while we're waiting for Andy Reid to speak to the media. You want to start us off a little stock up?
Yeah, stock up for me. Blocked kicks. Take players out of it.
Hey.
The blocked kick, if you had bought stock in blocked kicks, through the roof, Gold. I don't know if you guys were watching the back half of Red Zone there at the end of the noon slate, but it was block kick, block cut.
It was awesome.
Block kick, block kick, missed kick, whatever, and then it was just all game winners after that. Is there something different going on that teams have figured out, or just one of those weeks? Yeah. I don't know, but either way, the pure amount of blocked punts and kicks in the games yesterday was absurd. Absurd. All-time high.
Seven NFL games in which the game-winning score came with the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter.
How about that, huh?
It's just craziness there. I don't think it's anything more than just it was one of those weird days and one of those awesome NFL Red Zone final half hours. It's swinging a lot of survivor pools, a lot of people's bets, fantasy football implications, all of it. It was a fun finish to the noon slate. Stock up for me. Shane Steichen,
hard not to
head
be.
Coach of the Colts. I know everybody's having fun with Indiana Jones, but at some point, let's give some credit to the head coach whose job was in jeopardy heading into the season. They need to have a good year. They're 3-0. We're now venturing towards not just it's a cool story to could the Colts surprise people
Makes
and have much bigger?
Are they legit?
Much bigger convo. With Daniel Jones, let's still be real. I think there are limitations. I do not think they're a Super Bowl contender, but division. Yeah, I think they got a real shot to compete in that division. Obviously, when you start 3-0, I think they also have, is it one division win so far?
Yes.
They just played the Titans. That's their only, it's only one division win. And the Broncos have lost two in a row, but we still think the Broncos will be good. And then in week one, they beat a Dolphins team that we think stinks. So I don't know what the next game is for the Colts on their schedule, but Shane Steichen deserves some credit. His stock is definitely up.
We'll get Drew's stock up in just a second, and I hope I'm not seeing anyone stock down. That also means stock down on Dable, right? That he couldn't make Daniel Jones any good, and that Daniel Jones is the starter of the Colts, and he's punted one time in three games. That's not great for Dable.
Hang on. In fairness, are we sure that it's... I think it's a culmination of everything, because if you look at the weapons that the Colts... Tyler Warren is every bit of legit, I think is what he was coming into the draft.
Saquon, they had
and
weapons.
Jonathan Taylor is. I think there's a. It's fair to point it out. I just also think that I think it's a mix of everything.
All right, who's your stock up, Drew?
So my stock up is just the Chargers in general. Like I think.
Okay.
I asked you earlier how good they were, and you said that you didn't think they were a Super Bowl contender, but they were definitely a team that could be top five in the NFL. I think we're getting close to saying that they are a Super Bowl contender just because of the type of team that they are. Justin Herbert's going to have to prove it in the playoffs, of course, before anything else. I think before we really become believers, I think we have to see it kind of with this Chargers team. But based on how they've played, there's no reason that they can't go and make a run and actually do what it seems like every national pundit thinks the Chargers can do or are talented enough to do, and that's make a run at an AFC title game.
Stock down. Let's get to stock down. CJ Stroud, I did not think I'd be saying this about a year and a half ago when he was a top 10 quarterback in his rookie season. Last year, sophomore slump, O-line stinks. Look, the O-line is still not good, but his football team is 0-3 The Texans are in big, big trouble. The stats would obviously tell us that their chance of making the postseason fewer than 1% at this point in time. The numbers are troubling, though, for Stroud. So his rookie year, he had 100 passer rating, 2.2% on worthy turnover-worthy throws, 12% off target. This year, and this is a trend, it was worse last year. Now, 76.9 passer rating, 4.5% of his throws are turnover-worthy throws, 15% of them are off target. It's a mess. Yes, the O-line is contributing, but I would be very concerned all of a sudden about C.J. Stroud if I were the Texans.
I think it's more than fair to be worried about it because
I think they're going to win this week. They're playing, I think, is it the Saints or the Titans or somebody like that?
But they look like the third worst team in their own division.
Yeah.
Like the Jags look more comfortable than them. The Colts certainly look way better than them.
Oh, yeah.
They're starting to look like the basement dwellers somehow in the AFC South. That can't be good news.
Yeah. I almost went Jake Browning, but there would have to be stock to purchase for me to stock down.
Look.
Yeah, stocking down a backup quarterback is tough.
Stock is down. Not based on where I had ranked him before the game, but certainly before where some people on this show had Jake Browning amongst the backup quarterbacks.
Backup quarterback.
But you made it sound like you sent me clips on Saturday being like, look at this NFL-worthy throw.
And you admitted as much, though.
That was a sick throw.
You are correct. We were getting highlights sent to us on Saturday from Drew about their backup quarterback.
There was one thing that I saw, and it was from a national reporter. I don't remember who. It might have been Schultz, actually.
It wasn't a national reporter. He had Jamar Chase in his profile photo.
Yeah.
So, like, for what it's worth, maybe a national reporter retweeted it. The person whose video
that was right,
to me,
yeah,
had Jamar Chase.
That's where I got it from.
Let's talk stock down, not Jake Browning on my end. It's the Cowboys defense without Micah Parsons. I'm sorry, was he the glue that was holding that whole thing together? Because Micah Parsons left Dallas, and they look like the worst defense I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. Literally one player is gone, and now you can't guard anybody or stop anyone? Did the whole defense quit the second Micah Parsons ended up as a Green Bay Packer? Because goodness, they are not just bad on defense. They're the worst defense in the NFL through three games, which is really saying something because, again, only one player changed from a defense that was not nearly this bad over the last few years.
Over the course of their time, so they played good in the second half against the Eagles, but they gave up, I think it was 20 points in the first half against them. They gave up 40 to the Giants. Then they gave up 31 to the Bears yesterday. Like, yeah, they're on pace for an all-time bad season. My stock down is Falcons offensive coordinator Zach Robinson. I was going to say Raheem Morris, but I think, you know, him being more of the defensive guy side of things, granted, they gave up 30 points to the Panthers yesterday, but for them to have a nothing burger, lose 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers, man, and they got all that talent. They got Drake London. They've got Darnell Mooney. They've got Kyle Pitts, who's playing better. Bijan Robinson, of course. Tyler Algier. Like, it's not the Giants offense. It's not the Titans offense. I mean, they got some pieces there where them throwing up 0 points is a problem, and it feels like they have under-delivered on the expectations kind of that we might have had for this team. Not that they were going to win the division, but I think that we expected them to be a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, week three is always like a really, really interesting week. It's a tough week to figure out going into it because anytime you have a lot of the, you know, a bunch of 0-2, 0-2 games, and of course we had two 2-0 teams playing 2-0 teams or whatever it may be. But other than that, like you think you start to figure out what these teams are. It takes until week three where I think you get a much better idea. And so that's what happened yesterday. You know, then all of a sudden you get a wrinkle in it and the Packers lose to the Cleveland Browns out of nowhere. I still know how they lost that. Oh yeah, it eliminated the one out in Vegas. I think 1,500 or 1,600 of the entries had the Browns or had the Packers. I'm sorry. Now, good news for our show, the Circa Millions contest. We're doing you, me, Dusty, Rob, Speck, Bink. We're 4-0. We could be 5-0 if the Lions cover the 4.5 tonight. Otherwise, we know we're guaranteed 4-1. So We're in business now. Week one was a disaster. We're working our way up.
We're heading in the right direction. Yeah. You know, that's what matters. You'd mentioned the week three stuff. This is how I feel about, like, when you mentioned C.J. Stroud, my big swing year for quarterbacks and deciding whether they're good is year three. And that includes even if they had a great rookie year or a great second year. Year three is the true deciding factor as if you are going to take another level and put yourself in the echelon of quarterbacks in which you belong, you're going to ascend to the top 10 ranks, or you are going to get stuck in the wash, in my opinion, forever. C.J. Stroud is in the wash forever. Mm. That's it. He's going to get through the end of this year, and we're not going to be moved by his play, and he's going to be stuck in the 12th to 17th best quarterback, And that's whatever. You know, in Kansas City, you don't have to worry about that because you have Patrick Mahomes here. You worry about real contenders.
You think he's becoming Trevor Lawrence, essentially.
Yeah, I think he's falling into the wash like everyone. He's better than Trevor Lawrence.
His rookie year was better than anything we ever saw from Lawrence, obviously. His stock is down. I don't know if I'm where you're at.
I'm not giving up on it.
Yeah, I think the stock is down. The argument is should you be buying it, I guess, is the question, right? I think his stock is down. Do I think that now he has no chance of ever being viewed as one of the better quarterbacks in the league? I'm not ready to just end it. I think that's too early because we did see an unbelievable rookie year. I think right now you have to question the offensive line and his confidence in them. And now have they just kind of screwed them all up? Like, they've had two or three OCs now since he's been the quarterback. Bobby Slowick was when they were at their best, and then he flamed out pretty quick. And so I think right now it's fair to be critical of even their head coach, who we all thought a couple years ago was going to be one of the better head coaches in the league. That's the same thing can be said for D'Amico Ryan, who I think is very good, but this is now a team last year that was disappointing, and now they're 0-3. Like, the Texans are not making the postseason.
The problem is what you mentioned earlier, which is now, Gold, you know what happens? Now they're 0-3. They end up getting through a terrible year. They fire D'Amico Ryans, and they start all over on offense, all over an offensive coordinator. And has this ever worked for a young quarterback? Not until they get to, like, stop four in a different team and somebody puts some pieces around him.
I think they would have to win five games or something for him to get fired. I don't think D'Amico's getting...
0-3. It's not like...
Towards that. If they could still recover and win basically 7-plus or 6-plus, I think they would give D'Amico another year because of the success that they had prior. But the expectation in the bar is much higher now in Houston than just being, you know, a fringe wildcard team. Even a division winner and one and done kind of thing.
And he's a defensive guy, and the defense has played pretty well. I think it's just to your point, and I guess this eventually falls on the head coach too, of who you have as your offensive coordinator, who you bring in, and being able to evaluate that just as much as it is the players who you bring in too. But defensively, like, they're good, and you look at the roster, and it's not a bad roster other than the offensive line has just been, like, is Laremy Tunsil still there? Or is he?
No, Tunsil's in with the Commanders.
Okay, right, yeah. So, yeah, they've kind of ruined the just protection for CJ Stroud, which I think that goes into a lot of different things with confidence. Like, even we even talk about it with Patrick Mahomes at times, where even it's thrown Patrick Mahomes off in being to have the confidence of knowing I'm going to have the time to get the ball where it needs to go. Imagine what it's doing to a guy like CJ Stroud,
it might
even be more overwhelming.
His confidence looks shot. That's the biggest problem, I think, for him right now. So certainly significant issues for the Texans in an AFC South that right now has the Colts atop the division at 3-0. Jags are 2-1.
Yeah, they're competitive.
The Titans, obviously, look, it's a rookie quarterback.
Titans are awful.
Yeah, the Titans stink. The Titans stink. They just do.
I kept thinking, like, I saw
the
a couple
Chiefs
of things
play
I
them
liked.
Later this year, don't they?
Yeah.
In December or something?
Are the Titans worse or are the Saints worse? Because the Saints, I know that it's not Kellen Moore's fault necessarily, but the Saints just...
I think
Kellen Moore hasn't even played that bad.
I think the Saints have been more competitive than the Titans overall.
I don't know. Not after last week.
They're scared. Yeah, but go look at the Saints. They played the Niners with Mac Jones. They played Seattle. And then
they could be by 30 yesterday, too. I mean, it's
and
not
they
like they
got destroyed by Sam Darnold. I don't know. It's a different status of the organization, because Kellen Moore, first year head coach, they clearly know this year going in was going to be brutal.
Yeah, the team's just not
the Titans, you have a young quarterback.
But the number one overall pick.
But he's your franchise quarterback in the future. You want to see some progress. It's only been 3 weeks, though, let's be fair to him. I told you I'm just not sold on Callahan as their head coach. By the way, thinking of head coaches, obviously Andy Reid running about 20 minutes late so far. We are expecting still to hear from Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. So at some point in time, we will get back out to Arrowhead and hear from him.
No, it's not. I'm not saying CJ Stroud is a bad. I'm like, teams love having quarterbacks as good as CJ Stroud because it's better than having bad quarterbacks, right? But I just think it's been a while. This is probably something we've under-discussed, is just like NFL fans. We know the top four quarterbacks in the NFL. We've long established it. We know it's Burrow, Lamar, Mahomes, and Josh Allen. But it's been a while since somebody like competed to be in that group or to be in that secondary group, the 5-7 group. It feels like people get mentioned in that, like it's supposed to be Stroud or supposed to be these other guys. But it's been the same dudes in that group too. The movement on 1-8, in my opinion, has not swayed much. The Stafford, Herbert, wherever you put, like,
After his rookie year, people were putting Stroud inside the top eight. People were putting Stroud at eight after his rookie year. So, I mean, I guess the
last 2 years, but yeah, that's fair.
I think it's changed. I mean, Jalen Hurts, despite the Super Bowl, there's still some people that are, including myself, skeptical long-term of like where I would rank him, but some people have him in the top 10. Some people don't even have him
in
the top 10.
It'd be crazy to have him below.
I know, but he's not consensus top 10. And so some people have him as high as five, though, you know, so I actually think there's more movement 5 through 10, 1 through 4, 1 through 5. I'm with
no
you
movement.
5 through 10 or 6 through 10, however you want to break it down. I actually think there's a lot of disagreement on where people would put some of these quarterbacks, you know,
like Baker.
Baker's
one of them,
a top 10 quarterback in the league.
For sure.
It doesn't sound right, but he is.
Yeah.
If Herbert does big things this year, do you think he has a chance to like enter the conversation amongst the other four?
He could get back in if he were to win the division and win a playoff game or two. It requires a playoff game or two.
He better get to at least an AFC title game.
We're all just waiting on, I think,
if Justin Herbert won
playoff game to happen.
Yeah, like if they win the division and they win wild card weekend, and they, even if they lose in a close one division run, that will get some people. If he throws three picks or something, no. But if he plays well and they lose on a last-second field goal in the divisional round, and otherwise his numbers are great all year, I think there would be a conversation again about him being fringe top 10 again. I do think he has the ability to do that. I want to see, though, I think we all do, what happens when it's a game that they have to win or they can win to lock up something, as in a division, as in a playoff win. That's the next hurdle for Justin Herbert. All right, coming up next, we still are hoping to hear from Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan. And then I want to talk about Tyquan Thornton, who continues to be very, very important to this Chiefs offense and should be the rest of this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Season. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We are still waiting Andy Reid's press conference, although I believe we are going to head out there just a second. Of course, on Mondays, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is 96.5 The Fan. So we will head out to Arrowhead right now, where our press conference with Andy Reid are brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others.
I think we came out of the game pretty clean in that area. Be some good things we can learn from this game. It was great to obviously get the win, but there's some things we can take out of this, and they'll help us down the road. I like the effort from the guys, in particular, on the offensive side from the second half was more productive that way. I thought defensively we played another very solid football game, and the turnovers were beautiful. We need to keep that coming. That's a that's a real plus when you can get those. And then offensively, I thought just that second quarter was not very good football, and we've got to make sure that we correct that as coaches and players in that area. So we've got to make sure we're putting them in the right position to make plays, and then when given an opportunity, that we've got to make sure we do the right thing. So, but we came out the second half and put some things together. I like the way guys stuck together and worked hard. I think the question came up yesterday about Travis and the intensity and all that, and is he frustrated or not frustrated? Well, he's seen how the offense works, and so when things aren't going the right way, he's very aware of that. He's a pretty smart guy, and he's been doing it longer than anybody else on this team has been doing it. So He wants to make sure that he gets that point across to the guys, and so he does that, and that's, I'm okay with that part, and he knows also, like the coaches know, where we can go with this too, and the growth that we can have here, and we need to take care of business in that area. And then special teams wise, we can do, you know, Bud had a couple, he was off on a couple, but, that's, he'll get all that corrected. So, and Ariza had another, pretty good day. So with that, time's yours.
We'll go ahead and start with Jesse Newell.
Hey, Andy, we didn't get a chance to talk to you about Xavier after you guys ruled him out on Saturday. I just wondered his outlook, you know, week to week for you guys now.
Yeah, so he was real positive coming in, and you know, he was, you know, mentally he was saying, I'm a play in the game, which you've got to kind of take that approach with that type of an injury, and he did. I mean, he came out and he practiced and did the best he could, but it just wasn't right, and so between Xavier and the doctors and so on, they we thought it was best if he didn't play.
We'll go next to Herbie.
Hey, Coach. Good afternoon. Hi, Herbie. Sticking with the wide receiver questions, you should be able to get Rasheed Rice back this week. What are you expecting out of him, and how excited is that for you to have him back in the building? And then second, Jalen Royals didn't play last night. What went into that decision?
Sure. Well, Jalen just came back, so I had him there as kind of emergency in case we absolutely needed him. But his first week of practice in a month was last week, and he's a rookie and so on. So this was really his first game of suiting up, and I mean, you can figure out the rest of it, but he'll continue to work in there. It's great to have him back. It's great to have him back. So, and then, yeah, we do get four back, and I know the guys will be fired up about that to see him. He can't practice. He can't be on the field, but he can do the other stuff. And just having him around, he's a good positive energy to have around.
We'll go next to Sarin.
Coach, just can you give us an update on where you think you got with the running game, and you know what you think? I know they it was better, but they had really had some trouble stopping the run. And did you think maybe you left some yards out there in that game?
Yeah, sir. And I, you know, first of all, that defensive line I think is special. That's a good group. They started going against the Cowboys, they started doing their penny front, which is they put 5D linemen in there. And so they started off doing that with us. And for our guys to be able to run the ball, normally running against us, that's a tough haul. But our guys did a pretty good job with it. I was proud of Pop and Kareem. They put together, you know, a good day. We didn't have the big explosive runs, but we had that 5-yard run and a couple 7-yard runs that were positive. And it was our best rush day against a good D-line. So I like the way we matched up with them. I thought the big guys played well up front for the most part in the run and the pass game. So that can help us down the road. But the run, to answer your question, the run was better. Did we leave something on the field with it? Well, could I have called more? I probably could have called more if that's what that means. Yeah.
And then just a follow-up. How much did the Giants kind of spy on Pat? Maybe he'd been so effective running the ball. And is that something you think you're going to see more of moving forward?
Yeah, they did a little bit. But that's with 51, they had a little thing with him there. And he's a heck of a player, by the way. He's going to be tremendous for this league. but yeah, I mean, they can do that. That's okay. He's one of their better pass rushers, so I wouldn't spy him too much.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick.
Hey, Coach, one quick housekeeping question, and I'll have a second question. But Josh Simmons came out, Jalen Moore came in on those last two drives. Assuming that's not injury-related, just was that just an opportunity to get Jalen some snaps?
Yeah, just to get him in and get some reps there, yeah.
And Spags used a lot of split safeties yesterday and kind of splitting the field a little bit. And compared to what those Giants receivers and Russell Wilson were able to do last week, I mean, how effective was that game plan, and how proud were you of the guys being able to execute that?
Yeah, I was very proud of them. I thought defensively we played well. Spags had a great game plan for him. Russell's had some big days against us, and to be able to hold him where we did, I thought was a plus. We negated some of those long balls that he had been hitting, and thought that was a big thing going into the game. So, but I thought Spags' his plan was spot on for him, in both the run and the pass game. So,
okay, Coach, it looks like that's all we got for you today.
All right, so that was Andy Reid live here on 96.5 The Fan. Mondays, of course, when you hear Andy Reid, it's brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. Couple things from Andy, obviously no new injury updates. We kind of figured that. Was talking about the end there. I think it was Matt Derrick that asked the question. We were wondering just like what happened the final six plays or whatever. He says they just wanted to give Jalen Moore and Caliendo some reps or whatever.
He was set up to give that answer,
I have no idea.
We'll see. Simmons and Kingsley both had bad Pro Football Focus grades, as did Juwan Taylor. I would say their grades don't indicate some of the good they did in those games. And so I don't think it's that. My only thing is it's 2 weeks now where something funky's happened there. And then the first one, like the dehydration storyline still doesn't really track. And so like it doesn't track with what we saw in reality. And so like some of it is that. So I don't know, man. Doesn't make a ton of sense, but at the same time, I think they're slow walking.
Who knows?
Something going on there, but we'll just have to keep an eye on it.
He also acknowledged what we knew, which is Rashee Rice can get back in the building this week. He mentioned how the guys are going to be fired up to see him. Remember, he cannot practice. He cannot be on the field, but he can at least be in meetings and just kind of be around everybody again, which I'm sure will be nice for him to be around the facility. And I'm sure the guys will enjoy that, especially with last week and the kind of storyline that came from the t-shirts and the free Rice thing and everything that happened. But remember, he's still weeks away from being back on the field.
I got to say, the other part that stood out to me, because, like, you know, obviously there wasn't, like, a ton there
today.
No,
not really.
But the other thing that stood out to me is, unprompted, he decided to once again comment on the Travis Kelce thing. He wasn't asked. He'd already been asked twice and answered it twice. And in his open monologue, when he's trying to handle some of those things, he went out of his way to say he's seen the offense and he wants to get that point across to the guys. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. And kind of reiterated it. This has a lot of the, like, building on fire behind you. Nothing to see here. Don't worry. Why are you telling me that? You already told me it's fine twice. Now you're making a... The more you fine, the less I believe it.
Well, I agree. I think some of that, you know this. You've been in media long enough, Cody. When opening statements from any figure, if they want to control the narrative, right? So they will mention that in hopes that you don't ask them about it. And in this case, nobody asked them again about it.
No, it wasn't a follow-up. And again,
I think that's a PR thing in general. Like if you address in your statement how you want to address it, and then you kind of hope, and then you can say, well, I already addressed it. What usually happens.
But like this, I don't remember. It was probably like a month ago. We joked about this on the air. If your buddy keeps saying like, I'm fine, things are fine, I'm not mad, you're mad.
Let me say
it's
though.
It's always funky.
In fairness, I do think it's fine. I told you, I don't think every single week the Kelce sideline thing is not good in general. Do I think there's an issue between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think they are totally fine. I think so do you. So it's just one of those, like, you know, goes back to the optics stuff.
Little news out of college basketball. Yeah. According to Pete Thamel, Bruce Pearl is expected to retire as Auburn's basketball coach immediately.
Yeah.
After 11 seasons as their head coach. Obviously, choosing to do it on September 22nd with college basketball around the corner.
Just like what Tony Bennett did last year. Basically the same thing.
Exactly the same thing, because his son, Stephen Pearl, is expected to be the coach for the upcoming season. I understand nepotism exists, and I'm not even saying I wouldn't try to help my own kid out. I get how life works. He's clearly was going to quit this whole time, Drew. Waited to quit until the last minute, so they had no choice but to hire Stephen Pearl.
It seems like
it definitely puts him in a spot where they didn't have much of an option but to hire his son, who's been an assistant, I think, for 5 years or something, maybe more. His son played at Tennessee when he was the coach. Bruce Pearl's been at Auburn for about 11 years now. Obviously, he's had great success there, two Final Four appearances, including this past year.
Yeah.
They're not to get too in the weeds with this. The speculation, I guess there were rumblings around the program for a while that this was going to happen, though. The thought is he's going to run for political office. That's the speculation that's out there. So we don't have to go too far in the weeds there, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to run for office and have his son coach.
The speculation.
I will say, can you set up your kid better for success? Take a Final Four team from the last year with top recruits and just say, here's your squad. I mean,
They don't have Jani Broom, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you're still set up pretty good. Like, that's setting up your team pretty good, I would say, if you're like a rookie head coach. And by the way, your first head coaching job being Auburn in the SEC.
Because his son's like 35 or 30, like something. He's young. He's very young.
It's a hell of a first gig in college basketball.
Oh, yeah. For sure. No question. Yeah.
That's all. Just like, that's a hell of a first gig. Let's get to it, Drew.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. As always, love you to follow us on YouTube and Twitch. Put us at the top of your page at the Fan 965. And you can get notifications pop to the top of your feed when you're looking for the video stream. All right. Question today is, how would you have handled it? Happened Friday night.
Okay.
Yep. Park football game.
You did go.
Okay. I did go. My daughter performed at halftime as part of a Pommy camp thing, right? They did like 2 minutes. It was like to a song from, you know, it was really light, easy. Kids seemed to have fun. Whatever. Super easy. So they tell us where to sit. They're like, hey, north side between the 15 and the 30. We're getting up there, and there's like one ushery person's like, hey, you can just sit up here. This is about where they'll be. Someone who's working for the dance team. You're like, okay, great. Thanks. You go sit up there. It's pretty clear early on. We're like, oh, we're clearly closer to like the students than the parents. There's a lot of students here. But we're like, you know what? Whatever. It's open seats. And there's plenty of seats. Not like an issue at the time. Pretty full, but like there's places for us to sit. We're fine. Halftime rolls around. Everybody in the student section stands the whole time. Mistake on our end, but life is life. You just stand up, watch the game. Didn't say anything. Not their job to sit. They're excited about the game. My daughter was standing watching. Great. No problem. Halftime rolls around. And a couple of teenagers start getting real bossy about where we need to move as it relates to it. Started saying to my father-in-law, hey, you got to go back. This is the student section.
We're allowing you
to be here. That's what they said. And then they called my father-in-law. He was like, hey, we've been sitting here the whole time. My daughter, he said, my granddaughter's getting ready to perform.
What?
And they said, you have to move back because apparently they sit in different sides. Wouldn't explain it. And then started calling him a Richard to his face.
Oh.
A 70-year-old man. Started calling him a Richard. He's like, hey, man, stop being such a Richard.
That's so disrespectful.
You're in the student. This is our section. We're letting you be here. You have to move. What's the next move? What is the following steps you would take to a group of 16
years? Hey, hang on. I want to know what happened before I give my answer.
Well, okay.
Is there anything to happen
well,
next?
Well, he fought back, like, as in, like, verbally.
Yeah.
And my wife was immediately like, listen, we're not, like, I mean, just immediately mommed.
Let's go.
Dressed them down.
Yes.
Immediately.
Proper
started
response.
Dressing them down like, we're here to watch our daughter. We've been sitting here and we're not
Well, that's
moving.
What I'm confused by. You guys sat there the whole first half. They didn't say anything to you.
They apparently in the student section stand on a set of, they don't stand in front of the bleacher. They stand on the actual seats.
Okay.
Apparently at halftime, as a general, they sit on the ones behind the one they
okay.
were standing.
Yeah, I get that.
They did not explain any of that and just started like rudely demanding everyone move out of their way.
Yeah, I,
and
you know
then
what?
Started cursing it.
I am
at my father-in-law for no reason. They were being jerks.
Yes.
Jerky teenagers. Insane if your kids were acting like this, by the way.
You mean to tell me that a bunch of 16 and 17-year-old kids were not as respectful as they should be?
Yes.
Shocked. I am shocked. I am shocked that they were all smart asses. I'm stunned.
From the text line, those kids were big mad.
That's what prompted Cody to tweet big mad last night.
Those kids were crashing out, Cody.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, what would you have done? You're just saying, like, by the way, our stance was we're not moving. I don't.
Yeah,
you can say whatever you want here. We're sitting here, and you can be upset about it. We're not physically leaving.
Yeah, I think
this
that.
Space.
I think in that scenario, that's unless there was a seat right to your left or something. Otherwise, it's like, well, we've been here the whole game. We're here to watch our daughter perform at halftime, so we're not going to move. You guys are going to have to move. And that, yeah, you just would have held your ground. Is that what you did?
Yes, okay. Absolutely held our ground. I didn't know what you would. The next step was. I couldn't believe the one because one was trying to talk the other kid down because the other kid was losing it again. Incredibly. And then I had to tell a group of teenagers not to cut in line so I could get my kids some popcorn. It's like the fourth set of teenagers cut in line. I'm like, hey, you just gotta like, we can't do this all night. Like, I gotta get my kid popcorn. Can you just
that
get
one
in line like a normal human being?
That one I probably would have let go.
For the fourth time in a row, it was insane. It was like 30 kids.
The popcorn cutting thing, I don't know if I would have cared as much. The other thing is ridiculous. So you were just sick of the high school kids.
Oh man, I was done, dude. Done. And that was before I even realized. Now they were all saying the normal terminology and all that other stuff. That was common.
Someone says valid crash out. Someone says it was Oak Park, kind of expected. Someone else says they picked up Cody, spun him around, and threw him over the fence.
Oh, no. That kid, the one kid who was talking the most trash, that kid's never been to fight in his life. He'd have got his ass whipped by anyone in the stadium. Are you nuts? That kid was like 110 pounds soaking wet. Talking a big game for a kid. Like, you guys got to all... He was yelling at the whole section to move. It was insane. If this is your kid, I'll just say right now, he needs some better behavior skills.
You said he's one kid was trying to talk him down, too.
Yeah,
like,
one kid was
like, dude,
trying
you need
to
relax,
down.
Bro. Like, you got to...
Someone says you should have scrapped, like, Cody, the principal that was watching the student section or something and taking
care of it. Cody, you should have said to that individual... You need to relax, bro. Or, bro, relax. Like, you should have definitely pulled out the, bro, relax.
Stop having a crash
ass. Yes. That would have been,
hey,
we're
going to
be here through halftime.
Bro, relax. Calm down.
And I couldn't make it more clear. It's like, we're going to be here for 5 minutes, and then we're gone anyway. So, like, you're throwing a hissy fit over legitimately nothing.
I think you were more, the stuff in the crowd, in the stands, I totally get where you're coming from. And I that's ridiculous. The line cutting thing, you in particular cannot say a damn thing. Mr. Official Line Cutter of Kansas City, you cannot be complaining about the concession stand line cutting.
Control?
The stuff in the stands, though, the halftime performance, that is ridiculous. I'm not surprised that a bunch of punk high school kids were being smart asses.
These people got to be more respectful.
Were you guys worse behaved? Not around? Because, like, I was still a pretty respectful kid to adults, even though I was.
Oh, 100%.
All
if it was
the
an
trouble
adult,
I was as a teenager, if I was around an adult, I was like intentionally, like maybe overly respectful, maybe more than I was to my own peers.
Agreed. Someone else said, do you think Professor Tapp would be used to disrespectful teenagers?
I don't run into that problem.
No, class. No, you're right. Especially if it was somebody who was older, like you mentioned your father. Like if I would want to treat them like my grandparents, essentially. Like I would be like, you know, I understand what you're saying. Like, I think that's. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't you, Cody. Really, it was your father-in-law. That was ridiculous.
His exact response, I believe, was, "Okay, now you're starting to piss me off. Like, it's enough of this." Like he like immediately was like, "Okay, we're like you're not gonna keep just trying to push us out of this section." But my favorite was the ownership. We let you sit here, kid. I don't even like. We can't even start. You're 16. You're not letting me sit anywhere. I'm an adult.
If it was your section, it would have been taped off, and people would have said, "This is where all the students are sitting, and this is where you can't sit."
Not letting me sit anywhere.
Someone says you were Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver in this scenario.
Yeah, I felt like an old man. It was old man yells at cloud during this moment in the high school football game. Gold, you strike me as someone who is very respectful to like the adults in your life.
I think
during
so.
That time?
Yeah.
Kids. And yes, they do all say. Also, did you guys know very clearly based on this, digital cameras are back?
Huh?
10 to 12 different kids were having like small digital cameras, like the old point and shoots.
Why? Oh, yeah. What's the thought process?
I can't tell you. I'm just telling you, 10 to 12
they have
different
a cell phone
kids,
that has like a 60 megapixel camera these days.
10 to 12 different kids had old style point and shoot digital cameras,
like a Kodak or whatever.
But what's the thought? It's not like
a paper trail, a way to share with your friends and show friends photos that your parents can't see because they get your iCloud.
Trail, there's an SD card.
Yeah,
in
but
there,
no, like know. not an iCloud, right? Your parent can't get a hold of the photos you've been taking at different places. I don't know.
But they can grab the parent can grab the camera.
I guess, but maybe that's like something they're not going to.
Like, I get for a while, through. It was popular. People were using the Polaroids again because people, that was like something that people were starting to use.
Yeah,
again.
The vintage stuff.
I understand the vintage aspect. I don't get why someone would want a point and shoot digital camera in the year 2025.
What, like a Nikon or a...
Dude, it was a bunch of different ones.
See, someone says it's for vintage. Yeah, like the Polaroid thing I get. Someone says, you guys sound really old right now. That's fine. I get why people like the Polaroid cameras still. I don't know what the point is of the digital camera. How they're wanting to take photos that look like bleep?
It might just be cool to have like the camera and feel like it's only for taking like I don't know. I think that might be part of the like I've got a point and shoot camera. I took on vacation with me.
I did say
thank you. When we get back from break, we have to multiple people have texted into the show and want me to ask you about it. I saw it as well on Saturday on our social media channels from the station. Thinking of cameras looking on camera.
About this.
Interesting. I got some thoughts, questions. We're going to get to that. Involves Drew. Plus, jeez, we'll talk more about Tyquan Thornton next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.